You know, every single year people make commitments at Christmas time. How many of you have made a commitment at Christmas time? Anybody? Yes, you have. Yeah. How many of you have bought at least one present so far? Raise your hand. Then you made a commitment, right? You made a commitment that you were going to pay for it. Well, at least maybe later, right? You're going to pay for it if you use plastic. But you made a commitment that you are going to, you know, pay for that. And if you used a credit card, you made a commitment you're going to pay it back later. Amen? But you make commitments. Some of you have made a commitment to be somewhere on Christmas Day. There's a commitment there. You're supposed to be somewhere. Some of you have made a commitment that you're going to go out of town somewhere for Christmas Eve or for Christmas Day or that weekend. You're going to be out of town. Some of you, you've made commitments to go places, do things, take trips, go to church services, buy things. But there is one commitment that I believe that every believer should make at Christmas time above all other commitments. And that is a commitment to magnify our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, Christmas is supposed to be all about Christ, is it not? I mean, you think about the word Christmas. What word is in the word Christmas? Christ. And it's not Xmas, amen? It's Christmas, and it's about Christ. Now, you understand, Christ has already been exalted in heaven. In fact, look at the screen. Look at the screen at the verse there. It says, "Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, Jesus." And God has already done this. He's given him a name in heaven that is above every name. And we just sung that, right? Your name. And the Father has exalted Christ in heavenly places. He's been given a name that is above every name. So heaven's good. They got it all covered up there. But what about here on earth? Unfortunately, Satan has implemented his plan and his policy of evil here on the earth. And what we need to understand is that Satan's plan is not simply to remove Christ's name. He wants to demean and to degrade the name of Jesus Christ. And, that's the world we live in. And there's no need to get upset. There's no need to pull your hair out and get all upset and mad and stressed out over it. That's the world system that we live in today. But I want you to know there's opportunity in the midst of that. You see, the world may degrade Christ. They may demean him or they may just remove him. But that's where we come in. That's where the church, the body of Christ, comes in. Because if you know the Lord today, if you have been saved from your sins, there's only one way that you were saved and that you got eternal life, and that is through the name of Jesus Christ. If you look up at the screen, Acts 4:12 says this, "Neither is there salvation in any other." Talking about Jesus. "There is not salvation in any other. It says, for there is none other," there it is again, "name, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So if we are saved today, then it is through the name of Jesus Christ that we are saved. Now, our mission now, then, if we're saved and we know him, our mission is to magnify Christ and to show people how incredible and how powerful he is, but yet how gracious he is. And if the Father has already exalted Jesus Christ above every name in heaven, then should not our heart be to do the same thing here on earth? I mean, shouldn't God's heart be our heart? Shouldn't God's passion be our passion? Shouldn't what, you know, God does motivate us? And if God has already given him a name above every name and God's exalted him in heavenly places, then our heart ought to be to want to do that here on earth. That's why we're here on earth. The Apostle Paul definitely got that. He definitely understood that. If you look in your handout, look at Philippians chapter 1 and notice verses 20 and 21. Paul said, "With all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body." I want to go back and read that again. He said, "With boldness, I'm determined that Christ shall be," and everyone say that next word with me, "shall be" what? Magnified. He said, "I'm determined that Christ is going to be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live," in other words, man, to me what life is all about, "for to me to live is Christmas presents," right? No, "for me to live is" what? "Christ. And to die is gain. What an opportunity we have to exalt Christ here at Christmas time. You know, I was thinking, people are already thinking about Jesus in some way. I mean, he's on the radar, right? I mean, they see manger scenes, they know Christmas, the word Christ is in there. And so it's a great opportunity for us to engage others in some spiritual discussions about Jesus Christ. This last week, we had an opportunity, Denise and I were at a restaurant, we had a waiter, and he's a real great guy. I mean, nice, super, super duper guy. And he was probably the best, one of the best waiters we've ever had. And so we got to talking to him, and he actually knelt down beside our table as we talked. And of course, we turned the discussion. He just moved down here from North Carolina, and we turned the discussion towards, do you go to church? And then we said, and then from there, and he said, well, you know, since I left home in North Carolina, I've come down here now. I've been here since August. And he said, I'm just exploring other religions. He said, in fact, I've even been going to a Buddhist temple. And he said, but I was kind of raised up in a Christian home, but I'm just trying to kind of explore and so forth. And so we got to talking to him. And he was just a super open guy. You know, why do you ask? He said. And I said, well, I said, you know, I believe at the end of the day, Gary, I said, I believe you're going to come back to Christian faith. And he said, why is that? I said, because of the empty tomb. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, man, the tomb is empty. He smiled real big. I said, Buddha's dead, man. I said, Duda's been dead. Duda been. I didn't say it that way. But I said, man, I said, Buddha's been dead a long time. I said, he can't help you, man. He's dead. And he laughed. You know, he had a real good spirit about him, so I could kind of just be blunt with him like that. And I'm like, man, I said, Buddha's dead. I said, he ain't going to help you. I said, if you want help to overcome death, I said, man, you better go to the one that's already defeated it, Jesus Christ. And he shook his head. He said, yeah, you're right. You got a point there. And I said, you better know I do. I said, let me tell you. I said, Gary, every good thing in my life, I said, I owe to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I said, he is wonderful, man. I said, and I just had an opportunity to just lift up Jesus and just exalt my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him. And he was so open to that. And, you know, I didn't tell him I was a pastor either, you know. I wasn't in my suit and tie. I was incognito, you know. And so, of course, Denise had to speak up and go, hey, here, come. You know, she gave her the website, and she, of course, says, and he's the pastor, you know. He's like, man, he was so happy. Hey, put her there, man, you know. But we had the best conversation about Jesus Christ. And what I want you to do is this. I want everyone in here to think about this. I don't care where you are. I don't care where you are or what you're doing. I want you to make a commitment in your heart, if you know him, that here at Christmas time, that you are going to make this commitment. It's in your handout. I want you to get this. Here's the commitment. Make a commitment that you are going to exalt Jesus Christ above all else. I'm talking about in your personal life. I'm talking about with your kids, your grandkids. I'm talking about at work. At work. I'm talking about in the restaurant, in the stores where you're shopping, wherever you get opportunity, you are going to exalt your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know, I want you to think about this concept of Emmanuel. We sung about it. We saw the verse. Caleb showed us on the screen. What does the word Emmanuel mean? It means what? God with us. Now, I want you to think, and I want you to contemplate that thought. And I want to play a quick little video here that asks a Christmas question. It's very thought-provoking. And so I want to go ahead, let's cue it up, and I want you to watch this right now. Watch this video.
I think I'd risk more. I might not judge people so quickly.
Pretty sure my heart would get bigger.
That would change everything.
That would change everything.
That would change everything. Right?
I'd like to think.
I'd like to think.
I'd like to think nothing would hold me back.
Nothing would hold me back.
Risk my time,
I'd risk my money.
I'd risk my friendships.
My life.
If I stay in the Bethlehem story.
If I stay in the Bethlehem story. I think I get it.
Think I get it.
I think I get it.
I think I get it. Celebrate an event
every year,
but struggle to grasp.
To grasp its true meaning.
How would your life change if you were absolutely convinced that God Himself was with you? I want you to think about that this morning, and I want you to contemplate that, because if you know Him today as your Savior, the Bible teaches that Christ lives in you. He goes with you to work. He goes with you to the grocery store. He goes with you to your house at night. He goes with you every single place you go. God is living with you. And you know, God's desire is that He could live through you and that He could be first place in your life. And there's a word for that. It's in verse 18. I want to show you what that word is. Look at verse number 18 of Colossians chapter 1. It says, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He, Jesus, might have the preeminence." That word preeminence means first place. You see, I'm afraid that sometimes what happens is Christ is on the list, and maybe sometimes He's even high on the list, but He's not number one on the list. And God's desire is that He have first place, that He have preeminence in your life. He's number one to you. He's not just prominent, He's preeminent. He isn't just prominent, He isn't just high up on the list. No, He has preeminence in your life. Will you make that commitment that you are going to exalt Jesus Christ? You're going to do what the Bible says, and you're going to make Him preeminent in your life. You say, "Pastor Dan, why should I do that?" I want to give you one simple thought today. Next week, I'll come back and give you part two. But let me give you this thought. Here it is. It's in your handout. You need to make that commitment to exalt Christ, make Him preeminent, number one, because of who Christ is. Who He is. Jesus Christ is not simply a baby in a manger. Jesus is not a feminine-looking pacifist religious leader, as you see Him pictured. He's no longer hanging on a cross in pain and agony, as you see Him depicted many times. You see, the world is thinking about Jesus Christ in this time right now, but so many times their thinking is skewed. They don't have a biblical perspective of who Christ is. Kind of reminds me of when Jesus Christ came to His disciples. He came to His inner core. And He said to them, "Hey guys," He goes, "who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples were very honest and they were very straightforward. And they told Jesus what they had been hearing from people. And of course, people had it all wrong back then too. And the disciples were very honest. They said, "Jesus, some people think that you're John the Baptist. Some people think that you're the prophet Jeremiah or Elijah. Some people think that you're a dead prophet that's come back to life." And then Jesus asked them a very direct question. He said, "But who do you say that I am?" In other words, He said, "What do you guys think about me?" And good old Peter spoke up first. And Peter loved to speak up first. Peter loved to be heard. And Peter spoke up first, and Peter said this, who do you say I am?" Peter goes, he said these exact words. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And old Peter just nailed it. I mean, he got it right. He said, your position is that you're the king, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ. But he said, your nature is such that you are the Son of the living God. He nailed it. Now, Peter didn't always nail it. How many of you in here have ever said something stupid you regretted later? Peter was known for that, wasn't he? Peter always said stupid stuff that he regretted later. But I got to tell you, man, the guy got this question right. Who do you say I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ was not a mere man. He was not a religious leader. He was not weak. He was not passive. In your handout, it says that Christ was declared to be the power of God and the wisdom of God. In your handout, 1 Corinthians 1:24, look at it with me. It's right there in your handout. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In other words, do you want to see God's power? He says, look at Jesus. Do you want to see God's wisdom? Do you want to see God's knowledge? He says, look at Jesus. Now, something important to understand is this. The 12 disciples walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years on earth. But there is another man who was called an apostle that got saved much later and put his faith in Christ. He got saved much later than the 12. In fact, he didn't get saved until Acts chapter 9. And this man did not have the opportunity to walk with Christ on the earth, but yet he's called an apostle. And he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. This man's name was the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9. This is a long time after Christ walked on the earth, but he's called an apostle because he actually saw the risen Christ in his heavenly position. And to this man, Paul was given a greater understanding of the person of Jesus Christ and who Christ is. The 12 understood who Christ was on the earth. They walked with him on the earth. And they understood exactly who Jesus was in relation to Israel and how he was their king, he was their prophet, their Messiah, he was going to rule and reign on the earth. They got all that. But God set that earthly program aside temporarily, and he began to form a new organism today called the church, the body of Christ. And all of this was revealed to this man, Paul. And so to Paul was given a deeper knowledge than the 12 had, because in your handout it says to Paul was revealed who Christ is in relation to the church, the body of Christ. It's kind of like I gave the illustration earlier. I said, how many of you knew Bill Dobb when he lived in Daytona and he was on our staff? How many of you knew Bill back then? Okay, I see a lot of hands. And so you knew Bill Dobb as the assistant pastor at Crossroads. Well, a lot of you in here know Bill. He was with us a few weeks ago. Bill Dobb is now a missionary in the country of Jordan. And you see, we knew Bill Dobb as he was when he walked in Daytona and when he walked in our church and he was our assistant pastor. But those of us in here that knew him, we do not know him as he is now. We know he is a missionary, right? We know he's a missionary. We know his position. But we don't know exactly what that entails. We don't know what he does day in and day out. Why? We're not there. We're not there in Jordan. So we don't see it. We don't witness it. And so we know Bill Dobb, but we don't know him currently as those who live with him every day do over in the country of Jordan. They know him in a fuller way than what we know him. And in the same way, the Apostle Paul, he knew Christ in a different way than the 12. He knew Christ in a deeper way than the 12, because to Paul was revealed who Christ is today to the church, to the body of Christ. And this passage here, Colossians 1, is a gold mine of insight into the person of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to exalt Christ and make that commitment to exalt, magnify him, well, then we really need to understand who he is. Who is Christ? What if somebody came up to you and said, who is Jesus Christ? What would you say? Well, I'm going to give you four things that Paul says about who Christ is. Number one is this: Christ is the image of the invisible God. He's the image of the invisible God. Look down at verse number 15. Verse 15, who, that's Christ. Christ is the image of the invisible God. Did you know God is invisible? Do you know the Bible says no man has seen God at any time? Why? Because God is a spirit. Well, listen to this miracle. God, the invisible God, wrapped himself in human flesh and blood there in Bethlehem. He came right where we were. He came in a way that we could all understand. If you would, look at the screen at John 1:1. Notice it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And notice it says, the Word, that's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Word was made what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. That's why Jesus could say, he that has seen me has seen the Father. We are made in God's image, but we are not the image of God. And so since no mere creature can perfectly reveal God, then Jesus Christ must be God. He's declared to be the express image of God's person. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. Christ is God in bodily form. You want to see God? The Bible says, look at Jesus. The second thing I want to show you is this. Christ is not only the image of the invisible God. Number two, he is the firstborn of every creature. Look in your Bible at verse 15. It says that he is the firstborn of every creature. It didn't say that Christ was the first created being. Please understand that's not what the verse said. That would contradict the next verse, which teaches that Christ is the creator of all things. He's not a created being. When the Bible says he's the firstborn of every creature, firstborn is a title of preeminence. It means of first importance, of first rank. In other words, nobody has been born into the world above him. The term firstborn has to do with Christ entering the world and taking on humanity. There was a day, there was a time in history when Christ was begotten or born into the world. That's what we celebrate, right? Christmas. That's what we are talking about at Walk Through Bethlehem. Is that day and time in history when Christ was born into the world. He left the glories of heaven where he was from eternity past, and he stepped into time. Thousands of people were born into the world before him, but nobody was born of God's Spirit. They were all marred by sin. But when he was born in Bethlehem, the Father, God, said, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. What day? The day that Christ entered the world. Jesus was the first man ever to be born into the world of God's Spirit. The term firstborn doesn't have anything to do with eternity past. It has to do with the eternal Son being born into the world and having first place and preeminence over anybody else ever born. He is firstborn. He is number one in rank. By the way, that's why he ought to be number one in our personal lives too. He should be number one in our personal lives. Is that a struggle? You know, isn't it tough? Isn't it so easy to get materialistic? Isn't it so easy to get our eyes off of Christ? Isn't it so easy to forget that He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God. He is the one that reveals God. He is the firstborn. He is preeminent. He's number one in rank. And it's so easy sometimes to put our job number one, to put school number one, to put presents number one, to put shopping number one. And it's so easy to get caught up in things and possessions, and we start putting these things ahead of God. It's so easy to let happen. I mean, you know, it really is. I mean, it's a tough thing sometimes to just remember he needs to be number one in my life. And you guys are looking at me real religious, like you've never struggled with this before. But honestly, would y'all agree we all struggle with that? Amen? We struggle with just putting him number one. Just saying, Lord, you're number one. You're top. And I'm going to begin my day thinking about you. I'm going to end my day thinking about you. And I am going to all throughout the day think about you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you came. Thank you that you came to rescue us and save us and redeem us. Thank you that you came to give us hope. Thank you that without you, I have no hope. Nothing else matters without you, Jesus, in my life. And I want to encourage you today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please come to Him today. Today is the day that you need to know the Lord as your personal Savior. For years, I knew Him up here. I had a head knowledge of Jesus. I knew He was born in Bethlehem, and I knew that, we celebrated His birth at Christmas, and I knew even that He died on the cross for our sins. I knew that He rose from the dead. I understood that up here, but I had never made a decision to have Jesus Christ come into my heart and life, to be my Savior, to be the one who lives in me. And I'll never forget the day that I finally made that decision. As a teenager, I made that decision that I wanted this one who is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature. But you know what? That's awesome. I want Him to be my Savior. I want Him to come and live in me. And I remember when I made that decision, what a great day that was. If you've never made that decision, today is the day you need to take your heart, hand it over to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I'm yours. I'm yours. Number three, He is the creator of all things. That's the third thing I want you to get. He is the creator of all things. Oh, I love this. Look at verse number 16. This is good. For by Him, by Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things. And look at this. By Him all things consist. You know what that's saying? Every form of matter and life owes its origin and its existence to God the Son. Everything visible to the human eye, everything invisible. There's so much you cannot see. I mean, he mentions the whole angelic governmental host of heaven. He says everything you can see and the things you can't see, he said they were all made by the Lord Jesus Christ. They owe their origin to Him. Have you ever looked up in the sky and have you ever wondered why a star is located where it is? It's because that's exactly where Jesus Christ wanted it to be. What holds the earth, the orbits, the galaxies, the moon, the stars? What holds all that in place? I mean, when you think about the fact that we are on a planet and we are flying through space right now at 67,000 miles per hour around the sun, we are on a globe, we're on a circle, we're going 67,000 miles per hour right now as I speak. And I mean, that, I don't know about you, that blows my mind. I don't even like roller coasters. How about you? I hate roller coasters. I can't stand them. And yet we're going 67,000 miles per hour, suspended in space on this thing called Earth. And while we're going 67,000 miles per hour forward, this Earth is also rotating. It's circling at 1,000 miles per hour on its axis. Aren't you glad you can't feel that? Some of you are getting sick just talking about that right now, right? You're like, I think I'm sick, right? Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And yet, here we are spinning around out in space going 67,000 miles per hour, and yet we stay the perfect distance from the sun to sustain life on planet Earth. We stay the perfect distance from the moon to keep everything right. Everything stays right where it ought to be. You say, how can that be? That intricate, how can that be? I'm going to tell you exactly why. Jesus Christ put it together, and it's all held together by Jesus Christ. Everything was created by Him and for Him. That is, the cause, the effect, and the purpose were all in Christ. But let me give you one final thought, and that's this. Christ is not only the image of the invisible God. He's not only the firstborn of every creature. That is, He's number one in rank. He's not only the creator of all things, but number four, Christ is the head of the body, the church. Let me explain what that means. The Bible teaches that today God is forming something called the church. And everybody who has been saved, everyone who knows the Lord as your Savior, God takes you and He puts you in His body. He makes you one with Jesus Christ. And today, as God looks down from heaven, God sees everyone in this building one of two ways. He either sees you in your sins, or He sees you in His Son, Jesus Christ. You are either seen in your sins or in His Son, Jesus Christ. You're either in your sins or you're in Christ. And that is the difference on where we're going to spend eternity. Do you know Jesus Christ? Does He live inside of you? Have you been made one with Him? Are you part of His church? I'm not talking about the local church here. I'm talking about, are you part of His church, the heavenly church, the body of Christ? Are you part of that body? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And my prayer is that if you don't, that you will make a commitment today to come to Him, to trust Him as your Savior. That you will say, you know what? I want Jesus Christ in my life. This one who is the image of the invisible God. This one who is the firstborn of every creature. This one who is the creator of all things. By Him all things consist. But I want Him to be my Savior. I want to be part of His church. I want to be part of His body. He's the head, and I want to be part of His body. And you will come to faith in Him today. In your handout, it says He is the head of the church. He's the head of a brand new organism that never existed before called the church, the body of Christ. My prayer is that if you already know Him, that you'll make a commitment to exalt Him today above everything else this Christmas season. But like I said, it begins with inviting Him into your heart and life right now. Will you make that commitment?